Good day and welcome to Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge in Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals, both domestic and abroad.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you will join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back, and we're better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Dirk.
That's Dirk Johnson, the executive director of the Vacation Rental Housekeeping Professionals, is our guest this week on Sarah and T, as we have another interview episode for you. And what a great time of year it is. We're feeling springy. The weather's great. Pollen is in the air. People are thinking about spring cleaning and getting properties ready for the spring. And we thought we'd have the man who knows more about housekeeping and spring cleaning than anybody. Dirk, how are you doing today out west?
Outstanding, Tim. The sunshine is out where I'm at today, and just excited for the coming season and the coming year and all the housekeeping and maintenance that we get to do and discuss. I know a lot of people are excited about this year, so I'm excited. It's a beautiful year.
I know Sarah's excited, too, because spring means it's starting to slow down. You guys have had a record snowfall this year, have you not?
We have lots of snow and more snow on the way this week, believe it or not. We get snow all the way till May, but we are starting our deep clean emails to owners. So this is a perfect time to chat with Dirk, because Dirk, you're an expert. Tell us a little bit about why you know something about this subject of housekeeping.
Well, it all started on October 1st of 2001, when I was hired as the assistant director of housekeeping for a company called Deer Valley Lodging in Park City, Utah. And after one day on the job, I would have changed every single housekeeping department that I had managed prior to that. Principles and the techniques that I learned were professionally changing to me and professionally changing on my career. I just love cleaning up other people's messes. And it is just to work with the housekeepers and back of the house staff, they are just the salt of the earth. They're just willing to come in and hug somebody else's toilet and pick up somebody else's trash, and in some cases, clean up somebody else's pee, poop, and vomit. So it's a good class of people to work with.
Wow. I want to pick up on that, Dirk, because you really did hit on something there, and it was really evident last year at the Vacation Rental Managers Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, which was combined with the VRHP conference. And it was the first time I remember both groups getting together, and there really was something about the folks who were there for VRHP. They are very earnest and straightforward and hardworking folks. Tell us about the kind of folks who are members of VRHP and are making up your classes when you attend them and so on.
So membership of VRHP can be broken down into a couple of different categories. You have the professional managed companies such as yourself and Sarah, and then you have the subcontractors or cleaning contractors who are in the business of cleaning for themselves. And then I've even had a couple of individual housekeepers who have reached out and joined the association just to make sure they could stay abreast of the tips and techniques and to provide the best service that they can. Coming together at the national conference, it's a big family reunion when VRHP gets together, because we all commiserate in some ways and we all applaud in other ways as we succeed and work together. So to have us come together with Verma is a relationship we've worked on for some time, and to have the front of the house and the back of the house, so to speak, come together to now collaborate and work together. As I like to say sometimes, you know, to get the front of the house to understand that it takes more than a magic wand. Just take a large property and get it turned over and ready after some very messy guests were there.
So, Tim, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Dirk, I'm sure you'll agree. A lot of people that start a company like ours, Winter Park Lodging Company, Outer Banks Blue, we are marketers. We're excited about bookings and the listings and how pretty are the pictures. And oh yeah, and then we'll clean it, whatever. And we turn our back a lot on what Dirk's talking about. And I'm so happy that more and more we're focusing on what really matters, and that's our product. And our product is our properties. And if you walk in and they're not clean, and that we don't focus on this, how in the heck do you ever get a return guest?
Absolutely. You know, I remember back in the day, and it sounds so crazy because it's not that long ago, when everybody used to come to the front desk and a guest could have a poor check-in experience and go to the property and the property would be clean and ready for them, and they would immediately forget their bad experience and be happy. Whereas the converse is never true. You know, you have a great check-in experience and they get to the property and there's hair in the tub, or there's toilets aren't cleaned appropriately, or the beds aren't staged correctly. And it just sets the mood off for their stay off on the wrong foot.
So Dirk, what would you say to somebody that's listening right now and saying, guilty as charged, I haven't really focused on housekeeping. Maybe I outsource housekeeping, or I have a smaller company that's grown big and now I really should think about it. What are specific things they should start with? Where do they say, okay, I need to do these three things, for example, to start down the path of a good housekeeping operation?
So the first thing I would say is everybody needs a standard property appearance. And that is essentially your brand. So you're going to take and create a document that has pictures and words of how the guest amenities go, how the towels are folded, how the beds are made. For most vacation rental companies, that document is going to be anywhere from 50 to 70 pages long. That way it allows the housekeepers and inspectors to know the objective of what they're trying to accomplish.
Hey, Dirk, on that, before you get to the next things they should do, so I hear you say standard property appearance. If you say it should be 60, 70 pages, I don't know where to start with that. I sit down with the cursor staring at me and start typing. First of all, is there a resource out there for I could start with? When you say to somebody, tell them how to make the beds, I don't know. I'm not a bed making expert. I started because I was good at marketing. How do you learn all of this? How do you figure out what are the options for making a bed?
From that perspective of how do I create the document, VRHP has an outline. And the outline essentially boils down to bathrooms, living rooms, kitchens, and so forth. And then VRHP has access to teach you how to make the beds, whether it's hospital corners, and how you want the hospital quarters done to be able to succeed at that. And so from a marketing standpoint, you know the brand you're after. You know what you're selling the guests and what they're expecting and anticipating when they arrive. And so from that perspective, then you go to the property and go from room to room and stage it the way you want it, as if a guest were coming in, and then you take pictures of that. So if you walk in the front door and the first room you come to is a bedroom, then you would take pictures of the chest of drawers, the nightstands, the beds, the closet where the hangers go, how the pillows go, how the blankets are folded. Then you'd move to the bathroom and how the towels are folded and how they're hung and the washcloths. And so you just go from room to room and take as many pictures as you can. And then once that is completed, then you bring the photos back and you either turn it over to your marketing department, or if you're just up late one night and want to do something while you're sitting in front of the fire or watching the sunset, you take the pictures and start putting them into a Word document with a little brief description to the right or left of it of what it is that they're seeing. And then you just simply create the document that way. The beautiful thing about housekeeping is that it's not rocket science. It just takes a little effort to make sure that everybody knows what the standard is that we're working towards.
And it's hard work.
Being a housekeeper is, as I like to jokingly say, it is the built-in company exercise program. You know, it is great for your aerobic exercise, and it is great to keep your mind sharp, because as a housekeeper, not only do I have to pay attention to what the standard is, but I also have to use the appropriate product on the appropriate surface. And from a mental standpoint, I have to make sure that to notice any egregious damage or make maintenance reports or say, you know, more hangers or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. to make sure that the property is ready for the next guest or owner who's coming in to stay there.
So we have our first pullover moment in the podcast, and that's standard property appearance document. So we're going to work on that. But if you remember Sarah's question, said, give us more than just one tip. What are some other things that a company may concentrate on that has maybe lost focus a little bit, Dirk?
Yeah, so the next item I would say would be your service standards. And to me, that means what the difference is between your departure clean and your deep clean. At a minimum, you have to have those two, because when you have a new owner coming into the program, the first thing you're going to tell them is, this is what our departure clean is. So this is what we do every time a guest departs. And Mr. and Mrs. Owner, every year or twice a year, depending on what your occupancy is, you're going to need a deep clean. And this is just part of the cost of doing business. And this is what we do in a deep clean. And so this then, again, accountability to the housekeeper so they know what to expect, and then also to the homeowner so they know what to expect, how these two services differ. Because some homeowners think, well, you don't do a deep clean every time you turn my property. No, we don't. We don't have time. If you're willing to pay us extra, we're happy to do that. Although based on the cleaning fee that we're charging the guests, this is what we've come to, and this is what the standard that we're working towards. Now, I would say for any company that you need multiple other services, you need to offer other services in your housekeeping department. So you would include a deep clean, a mini deep clean, a departure clean, a midweek stay where you come in and change the sheets, a daily stay where you come in and make the beds and touch up the property a little bit. And then in your off season, you would need a towel and tidy, and then a towel service. And all of those services can be made to your guests. Because, again, housekeeping should be a revenue generator, not a lost department. And so the housekeeping department needs to have other ways to be able to generate income. And you can offer that to the guests. Some take it, some don't. And you'll find that as you do the daily services, that you'll have more work for your housekeepers and be able to employ more of them throughout the week.
So I just thought of something. It might be good to share your standard property appearance with owners. Do you recommend you do that to tell them, you know, this is what we're focusing on?
Yes, absolutely. So not only would you share your standard property appearance with them and then your service standards, because then you can explain to them, again, to the marketing people, this is the brand. This is what we're doing, and this is the standard that we're working towards. This is how we train our housekeepers. This is what the inspectors work towards. This is how all of us work together to provide this experience for the guests that are coming in to stay in your property. And so, Mr. and Mrs. Owner, I know you love your wax candles. I'm sorry, they need to go because they're going to make a mess.
You can have a standard property appearance. You can have service standards. You mentioned something that's really, I've been thinking about a lot, which is the substances that are used in different parts of the home. How do you enforce all of this?
So if you're looking for the cleaning products, you know, as a contractor, if I'm your cleaning contractor, you can't tell me what products to show up with. I show up with the products of choice and I clean and I go from there. The only time you can tell me what not to use if something is damaging the surface or the property that I'm cleaning. As an employee, so if I'm your housekeeper, then when I show up in the morning, you would give me a cleaning kit, and in the cleaning kit would have all the tools I need, including cleaning products, to go out and clean that day. And as part of my onboarding, I would receive training not only on how to clean, but how to use the products that are in my cleaning kit. And then throughout the day, there would be an inspector or someone who would stop in to see me and to make sure I'm okay, make sure I'm following the procedures and protocol that's been outlined. And then they're going to look at my cleaning kit and they're going to look around me to make sure that I'm using the correct cleaning products. Because as an employee, if I'm using a non-authorized cleaning product and OSHA shows up, you have to have a safety data sheet in your safety data sheet binder for that particular item. If not, then you're on the hook. And so my accountability piece to that is people show up unannounced to see how the housekeeper's doing, and they look to see what products they're using, and then they provide instruction and direction as they go forward with that.
And so are you telling me that Sally, who's been my good cleaner for the last 5 years, and she likes to use Mr. Wizard's Amazing Stain Remover, that I shouldn't allow her to do that?
No, what I'm saying is if you're going to have a variance to do that, then in your safety data sheet binder, you need to have the safety data sheet. That way, if anybody shows up and says, if anybody from OSHA or the state shows up and says, I'm doing an audit, I see Sally is using this particular product, is this in your binder? And you can say, yes, it is. It's right here.
And what is isn't there a fine or something like that if you're caught, if the bottle is not labeled and you don't have those MSDS sheets?
So, yes, that is correct. An OSHA individual shows up and they're using a spray bottle without a proper label. It's $5,000 per bottle.
Hello.
Does that happen?
Right?
Do people actually show up and charge $5,000?
Yeah. Imagine. So if it's Sally again, right, and she's done her home brew of cleaning products and she just loved what she has, And she writes on the outside of that cleaning bottle, Sally's bathroom cleaner, and then, you know, Mr. Magoo's floor cleaner. And there's no manufacturer's label on that. Two bottles there, that's $10,000 out of the gate. And then the next step is going to be, where's the safety data sheet? But because it's a homebrewed piece, there is no safety data sheet. So So the key is here, right? We're talking about professional cleaners. To clean your home with your own brewed product, that's one thing. When you step into the commercial world, that means you are responsible to abide by the rules and regulations that are set forth in the business side. And that means you have a safety data sheet for every cleaning product. Every cleaning product has a proper label. You're providing training. You have the proper personal protective equipment, whether that's gloves, glasses, face shields, flash goggles, whatever the case may be, for that particular product to be used.
I want to jump in on that. Something you just said, professional cleaner. That is a definite difference than what, you know, I was raised in, where we talk about the maid or the housekeeper. It is a different mentality, isn't
right.
it, Dirk?
It is. And that's something that I'm talking about this year in the one-day seminars that are taking place, that VRHP is doing, is we are professionals. We're not just a fly-by-night industry anymore. We are an established industry. Airbnb and VRBO and HomeAway and Booking.com and all these other, you know, short-term rental people are taking notice of us. And Google is starting to put vacation rentals in their hotel searches now. And so for us to raise that level is raise the level of the clean that we're after. We have to look at our staff as professionals. It's not just, oh, they're just a housekeeper. Oh, you know, I need another 20 housekeepers to get the work done, you know, whatever, they're disposable. No, these people own your brand. You are taking your brand and you're handing it to them and saying, go out to this multi-million dollar home, clean it to the standard that I want you to clean. And then I want the guests to be happy when they depart, so they'll come back and say good things. I mean, that just doesn't happen by chance. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into an outstanding run housekeeping department to maintain the brand and integrity of the company. We are professionals. We are making the effort to abide by the rules that are there and to use the professional products and to do it in an efficient and effective manner.
Dirk, we hear you. We believe you.
Amen, brother.
You know, so let's say somebody's listening and they do all these things. So that will take a while. Just the standard property appearance to create it and make sure it's what you want is a lot to create. So let's say you do that and you train everybody, you start your season. And then, like for me, it's March. Everyone's tired. We have 25 to 40 clean some days. We're cranking through it. What specifically is the process that the housekeeping manager or maybe even someone that's managing them needs to do on a consistent basis in the home with the cleaners to make sure that this is happening? What you know, because that could feel really awkward to be walking around watching the housekeeper.
Yes, it is awkward. And I would advocate that every housekeeper, again, I'm talking as employees, that every housekeeper or every cleaning professional use the same methodology to clean every home they're in. Because if everybody is using the same methodology and using the same process, then I will know instantaneously when I walk in the home or the property where they're at, how well they're doing, and what's taking place. You know,
what do you mean by that? What do you mean by methodology?
So by that I mean, is everybody following the wall? And is everybody using the cleaning process? So the methodology of the follow the wall is, I'm going to go through every property in the same way. I'm always going to end in the kitchen or as close to the kitchen as I can. I'm going to go from room to room in a very methodical pattern. And then the cleaning process then is really four steps. And it's I prepare the property to be clean. So I distinguish between clean and dirty. I make the beds. I then clean with the appropriate product, and then I place the towels and amenities on the fourth step. And so if I'm stopping to check in on Betty Sue, and I see that she is cleaning the bathroom, then I can walk to the rest of the property, and I will see signs that she has prepared the property to be cleaned with sofa cushions turned up, drawers open, cabinet doors left open, you know, different things of that nature. And so it boils down to this same pattern. That way I can walk in, I can see it, And if everybody's using the same communications, as far as doors open, cabinet drawers open, and sofa cushions turned up, then people can prepare the property for them, and it just makes the whole process much simpler to work with. And everybody's speaking the same language and doing the same thing. And so, now you start looking at, it's March, you know, either I'm coming off of a high ski season, or it's March and I'm coming into spring break. You know, you think of a sports team and how often they practice the basics. You know, March Madness is going on right now. How often are the teams practicing dribbling the ball, shooting free throws? As a professional housekeeper, we are no different. We should be talking about our cleaning rags. We should be talking about our bathroom cleaner. We should be talking about proper lifting techniques. We should have a calendar or an outline specific to our location and our company that we're going to talk about the basics throughout the year. That way everybody stays on target with the basics. Because when we get the basics right, then the more complicated things of the revenue generation and the maintenance orders and all those things like that then simply fall into place because the basics are right.
So, Dirk, I don't want to leave this follow the wall technique and kind of keep it simple for somebody like me. So every time I go in a grocery store, I always go to the right, and they usually have the produce there. Yeah. And then I work my way around the outside of the grocery store, and then I hit the aisles back and forth and back and forth. Is that what you're kind of talking about? You go into a room, you're going around the room the same way, and then you go down the hall. Just if you can give me a visual on that.
Yeah, very similar to that. So again, staying with the grocery store analogy, right? So if I were to walk in the grocery store and my checkout stands are to the left, or in other words, the kitchen. So then I would go to the right and I would work my way around the outer wall, and then I would work my way back down the islands of the mm-hmm. produce, could then start working my way up and down the aisles as I go, one side of the aisle as I go down, and then the other side of the aisle as I come back, you know, that type of scenario. So the follow the wall really has four parts to it. The first part to following the wall is I always want to end in the kitchen or be as close to the end of the kitchen as I can. I want to start at the top of the wall and work my way down to the floor. Sometimes I have to create imaginary walls, if you will, to go around coffee tables or the island kitchen or, you know, other things of that nature in the home. And then I want to be judicious about how often I get down on the ground to look underneath the furniture. You know, the older I get, the more important that step becomes, because I can't get down up and down as often as I used to. And so you want to make sure that you're able to see underneath the furniture to get any garbage or dust bunnies or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so by following this pattern, I am able to effectively and efficiently go through any property anywhere to be able to see and touch every corner of the property. The other reason, there are two reasons we end in the kitchen. One is that's where the bulk of the work is. And two, when you get into the cleaning process, you know, you're gathering dirty dishes and you put them in the dishwasher so the dishwasher can be running while you're off cleaning and doing something else. Mm-hmm. And so following the wall is truly a methodology that has changed my professional career in how I go through a property, how I see a property, and how I'm able to catch a lot of things that would otherwise be missed if we're not following that pattern to walk through a property.
That's good. Sorry, I can't get past the visual image of you on the floor looking under the bed for dust bunnies. I don't know about you. I don't have a problem getting down.
It's
not, getting up.
Not a great sight, particularly when I've got my butt up in the air and I'm trying to look under a really low chest of drawers or, you know, get under a bed that's sitting close to the floor. It is not a very appealing sight, that is for sure. And you know, people say that when I'm training it. They say, that's right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and you know, it's a new tool, and the first time you use it, you're going to make mistakes. And the first time you use it, it's going to feel a little bit cumbersome. And that's okay. You know, anytime we try something new, there's going to be mistakes. And anytime we try something to help us improve, it's going to feel a little different up front. And that's totally okay. You know, we mentioned accountability, and part of accountability is having the ability to make mistakes. You know, far too often, you know, Tim, if I'm your housekeeper and I get called into your office, I'm going to be sitting outside your office nervous as I'll get out because I, you know, how often do I get called into Tim's office? You know, only when I'm in trouble. And so from a supervisory standpoint, you know, we really have to change that mentality to our professional cleaners that we're thirsty for this accountability. I want to know how I'm doing so I can make adjustments. You think of the speedometer in our car. It doesn't tell us whether we're going too fast or too slow. It just says you're going this speed. And then as the driver, I can look at the road conditions and everything else and make adjustments. I don't think as an industry that we provide enough information to our housekeepers for them to be able to say, I did a great job today, and pat themselves on the back and walk out the door. You know, housekeeper's world is a very negative world. You know, there's always something wrong. If something's missing, it's the housekeeper's fault, and all these things go on with it. And so it's up mm-hmm. to the managers and the owners of the companies to focus on that 98 to 95% of the positive stuff and pat the housekeepers on the back as they walk out the door and say, wow, you did a great job today. Thank you so much for your assistance.
Okay, so another pullover moment there. So, Dirk, one thing we haven't discussed, and I would like your opinion on this, because I think Sarah and I have been enlightened, I'll say, over the last couple of episodes. We've kind of gotten away from the term inspection of houses and maybe moving more towards staging of properties. As the guests are arriving, mm-hmm. inspection connotates that I'm going to find something wrong. And I was wondering what your mindset is on inspections and then this kind of new vibe about staging properties rather than having somebody try to find fault.
So, yes, I believe that, whether you call the person a stager or an inspector, they serve two functions. The first function is they face the housekeeper to make sure that the standard property appearance and the service standards are being adhered to. And then they face the guest. And as they face the guest, then that becomes the staging piece. So how the towel or how the pillows are set, making sure the blinds are opened appropriately, the correct lights are turned on, those types of things. So absolutely, because again, it's a two-step process or a two-part process. You know, you have the housekeeper who comes in and cleans it and gets it reset. And then you have your inspector or your stager come through and then put that nice polishing touch on it. So when the guest walks in, they immediately feel comfortable and they're ready to enjoy the property.
Dirk, have you ever chopped a pillow?
I have not.
I do that to the pillows. I do the chop.
Yeah, it's so they got that little crease up on top and makes them stand up a little bit better. Yeah, absolutely.
Tim, do you even know what we're talking about?
I absolutely know what you're talking about. Yes, ma'am. I make my own bed every day, and I chop my pillows.
But here's the thing, right? For some property management companies, and this is the part that makes the vacation rental world so appealing and exciting to me, is for some companies, chopping the pillow is going to be a part of the standard property appearance. They're going to have a picture there, and they're going to have demonstrations of how you do it, and you're going to have another company in the same city who's going to say, that's not important to me, because that's not what I want my brand to be. And to me, that is just wonderful. And that's why the standard property appearance is so important, because it allows each company to have their own personality of what's important to them. And so to Sarah, to you, as you chop the pillow, then that would be in your standard property appearance. And then to somebody else down the street, they may say, as long as the pillows are on there at a 45 degree angle and they color code match or whatever, I'm okay.
Okay, it's time for Not So Hot Off the Press with Definitely Happening. First, before we do our Not So Hot Off the Press with Definitely Happening, I wanted to ask Tim one question that I know our listeners are wondering. Tim, have you done the challenge yet that we gave you?
You gave me until May, and I'm going to get it done.
Okay, well.
No, I'm going to get it done, I promise.
Remind me what the challenge is.
We challenged Tim to stay, actually sleep for a few nights in his own vacation rental because he's not sure if it really operates the way he thinks it does. So May's coming soon, Tim. We're going to ask you on every other episode if you've done the challenge. And we expect photos, okay? We want at least one photo we can prove that you're there.
Okay.
Tim, that's such a great house. Yeah. That is an awesome home. It's always full. I'm sure. I'm not sure how you're going to find time to get into it.
I may have to share it with some of my guests.
You may have to.
Creepy.
I'll just mention the podcast.
So, Not So Hot Off the Press, but Definitely Happening. Today, we wanted to talk about, I saw it on skift.com, skift.com. I don't know if you guys get that email, maybe sometimes too often in my inbox, but it said that Airbnb has garnered more revenue in the past year than Hilton. Do I have that right, guys?
You do. yeah, isn't that pretty amazing that here you have a company who really owns no assets, who surpassed a company that owns assets in the lodging industry. That's pretty amazing.
That's a lot of booking fees that we've been handing over to Airbnb.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting my head around that one. That is an amazing bit of information that just came out.
It is, you know, and then you look at how they struggled with the back of the house operations, from their housekeeping standards, and how they've come out with now how they're trying to court the business clientele by having a standard and having certain things. It's interesting to watch them evolve and change as they've had to adjust to the marketplace, to the comments of how the different segments say they won't use them because there are no standards, and now they're coming out with them so people will know what to expect. I mean, to a degree, you go to a Hilton or to a Marriott, you know what the standard is, you know what you're going to get even before you walk in the door. With a vacation rental, it's kind of a mixed bag to a degree, you know, depending on how well the marketing has been done. And an Airbnb, I mean, it's the Wild West. I mean, you may have something great or you may not have something good at all. And that's why they've come out with this inspection process and all these other things to help maintain that standard. But I agree. Amazing to see them pass Hilton.
I'd say it's good job security for you, Dirk.
Well, yes, from a cleaning standpoint and maintenance and laundry, absolutely. And then to the professional management companies, I would say there's an opportunity here to find some common ground to use the guests, use them as a feeder pattern, if you will, on Airbnb. And then once they use Airbnb to come and stay with you, then meet them or connect with them in some way so then they'll book direct with you next time. I mean, I would look at them as an OTA from that perspective to make sure that if they come and stay with me again, that it's not through Airbnb, it's through me directly.
Okay, that's the voice of Dirk Johnson, the executive director of the Vacation Rental Housekeeping Professionals. And Dirk, we have a record-setting podcast. We have so much content, we can't fit it all in one. I'm sure other people have questions out there. I have a list of them still. And so you are going to be our first 2-episode guests. So if you can hang around, we're going to leave people on the cliff and we'll come back and talk about more housekeeping stuff and get into laundry if you got a few more minutes for us.
Yes, sir. I have all the time set aside for you.
Oh, boy. All right, Sarah, that'll do it for this week.
All right. Talk to you both next week.
So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast. Brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, sarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.